Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to this week's episode of Radio Established to Address Life. Cousin.
Yo.
We are back, baby. Now, last week, we didn't rock out. You were under the weather. I was truly under the weather. Yo, it was mad crazy. Got some stories to tell about that. You're still not feeling well, but I'm feeling at least at 90-95%, so we had to come back and do the thing because, as we've said a million and one times, we're only here 52 times out of the year. So it's important that we hit it as often as we possibly can. So we are here. We are back. I'm feeling it. We're feeling it. We're going to do it. We're going to push through and get it on. The week has been not monumental, but it's been a crazy week personally and just in the week of life as outside of ourselves. The Iowa caucus happened Monday. Iowa caucus happened on Monday, and there was some interesting stories that came out of that. We had the Democratic debate Thursday night. It was finally Hillary Rodham Clinton and Senator Bernie Sanders, mano a mano, because of what developed out of Iowa. We're getting closer and closer. Actually, tomorrow is Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl 50. So that's on the plate for everybody and everyone. Flint is still going on, unfortunately, but it's going to be going on for some time. Medicare money should have been allotted for Flint, and it hasn't happened as of yet, but that's all right. Hopefully it will come through sooner rather than later. A lot of bickering going on right now on Capitol Hill, but we all know how they do. But, cuz, let me tell you about my week and family. Because cuz was sick, so both of us are sick. So, you know, we've talked more so through electronic messaging versus actually speaking this week. It wasn't until we did the show review that we actually talked, because, again, he was under the weather, I was under the weather. So Sunday, I decide, that I'm going to go to the emergency room because I had not been feeling well. You know, you commented like 2-3 weeks ago. You was like, yo, you just sound like you're low energy. And it wasn't that I was low energy. I just wasn't feeling well. And I was trying to play it off to push through the show. It was the snow day weekend.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was trying to play it off to push through the show. So I go into the hospital this time, and these jokers put me through the protocol for a heart attack. And I'm like, yo, what's that all about? And they're like, well, according to what you said your symptoms are, that, it, you know, we have to put you through this protocol. So, dog, they had me put the EKG monitor up, the chest x-ray. I had nitroglycerin. I never had nitroglycerin in my damn life. I had nitroglycerin. Dog, they hit me with the damn, I always want to say catheter, but it's not the catheter. The IV. Oh.
No, I'm going to say, whoa, the catheter.
Son, I hate needles, son. I hate needles, son. They put me with the needle joint, drawing blood from me. First, they're going to vamp me. Then they're going to hit me with the old, like, bam. Like, oh, are you serious? You just going to put that in me like that? Yeah, we got to do it. So I'm going through this whole thing, and they're like, yo, we got to keep you for a little while longer. We want to continue to monitor your heart, so on and so forth. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Long story short, doctor comes back. He says, look, as we were talking and we're knocking things down that are not wrong with you, something sparked in my head. You said that you woke up this morning and you had fluid just going everywhere. I said, yeah, you know, I woke up this morning, and actually I was awoken because I don't know what happened, but some fluid went the wrong way inside my chest, so I had to get that out and, you know, blah, 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 blah. He said, I think you have acid reflux. So I'm going to give you these pills, take these, but if you're not feeling better within the next 3 days, come back immediately because we need to do some other stuff and yada, yada, yada. So I'm like, all right, cool, what's up? Took the pills. Oh, they gave me the, I'm asthmatic, so they gave me the albuterol treatment, I guess, the breathing treatment and stuff. In the emergency room and whatnot. And then that made me feel better. It really did. But then when he hit me with the acid reflux pills, yeah, that made me feel a whole hell of a lot better. And I've been feeling better ever since. You know what I'm saying? So I think that might have been the case. And he was saying to me, he says, yo, the acid reflux would actually keep the congestion in your chest there longer because it can't get away from the reflux. You know what I'm saying? Which would then trigger your asthma, so on and so forth. It would add to and create all these other problems, you know what I'm saying, because of your existing issues. So I was like, all right, cool. So lo and behold, I walked out, you know, I chilled on Monday. I didn't do anything. I mean, literally, I did nothing on Monday except for go pick up my prescription, get some food, and I was back in the house. By the time I got back out on Tuesday, I was fine. And I rocked it through, you know. So then comes Thursday. Son. So here I go, like, all right, I got some money in my pocket. I'm not trying to burn it. I'm actually trying to pay my credit card bill. So I drive over to the bank to pay my credit card bill. Son. Mad cop cars are in front of the bank. I'm like, all right. Well, I've seen them there before, you know what I'm saying? I'm getting closer. The blue light special is going on three of the cop cars in front of the bank. These motherfuckers just get robbed. I pulled close. I'm like, these motherfuckers just got robbed. Detective was in the parking lot. I was like, yo, is the bank open? He said, I pulled off like, these motherfuckers just got robbed. I get back to work. I'm driving into the parking lot, and it was a tractor trailer in front of me. He was all the way at the parking lot when I started coming down the driveway and whatnot. This joker decides, once he gets in the parking lot, that he wants to back up. He hit my car. He pulled forward, came back, hit my car again.
Oh, no.
Yes, yo. This was my Thursday. I'm like, yo, are you serious? First the bike gets robbed, and then my car gets hit. Not once, but twice. This joker, he hit me. He, you know, I guess the force pushed him forward a little bit or whatever. So he just starts coming back again. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Yeah, no, that was my Thursday. So needless to say, my week was one hell of a week. It wasn't the worst, but God damn, that was one of the most interesting weeks I've ever lived through in my life. For real. It's crazy. It was straight up crazy.
I feel you on it, man. You know, like you said, we both are under the weather. You know, I'm still kind of bitten by the bug a little bit, but, you know, I got, you know, some a tragic story, you know, to share with you and our listeners. So yesterday,
what?
I was in the house yesterday, trying to, you know, do some nice things for my boys, and I was moving some things around, and I discovered something that really impacted me and my family, and so I get into man mode and I try to fix it, you know, and. You know, I can't fix it. You know, and my week has been long. You know, I've been tired. You know, I've been ill and ripping, running, having good things. You know, trying to do good things for my community. And I get hit with this. Cut my TV on, cuz. And I disconnected my DirecTV. I can't watch the Super Bowl.
Ready for the Super Bowl?
Because I can't watch the Super Bowl in my house, man, because I disconnected my DirecTV.
Yeah. Yo,
I feel so less of a man right now, you know, and it's an impact on my family because my whole family, like, you know, Cam, you know, my son Cameron is a Cam Newton fan, you know, he wants to see Cam Newton, you know, win a Super Bowl, and I just, you know, took that away from my family possibly, and, you know.
Yo, let me tell you something.
I'm struggling
That's
with
room
that,
for
man.
Divorce. That's cause for divorce right there. There should be grounds and stipulations for divorce right there. How are you going to kill the cable before the Super Bowl? The day before the Super Bowl?
I don't know, man. You know, you know how men are, right? You know, there's some good things for Valentine's Day, how we've been trying to cover relationships, you know, every week. But, you know, me being a man, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and unplug this thing that says do not unplug. And I unplugged it anyway. And I said, oh, it ain't gonna hurt nothing. I'm just gonna unplug it, move it around, you know,
plug it back up.
I should be good. cut my stuff back on, man. And it says it. Error code 775. Failure to communicate.
Oh, yeah.
Respect.
All right. So
yeah,
so,
I think
I'm really good. Tell me some good news, sir. Tell me the tech is on his way out. Tell me the tech is on his way out.
So it get worse. So they have like a Super Bowl special where the technicians, they got like technicians on call. So me and my experiences, I'm like, okay, yeah, they say they on call, but on call, that means they ain't going to come to like Saturday afternoon or something like that. And this is last night. So... The lady from DirecTV is like, you know, are we going to get somebody out there as soon as possible? Yada, yada, you know, just keep your phone on you, you know. So make sure when you see the number call, they're going to call you to confirm the appointment, yada, yada. So the guy calls, I answer the phone. He's like, hey, man, you know, we're going to have somebody come out there to you soon. You know, expect a phone call in the near future. You know, all these, like, vague terms and stuff like that, vague phrases. Like, again, so I'm thinking, it's real vague, so I'm thinking, okay, again, this is yesterday evening, so I'm thinking that they're going to come tomorrow. I get a call around 6:30, 7 o'clock, about 7 o'clock. I was at a Black History Month program with the NAACP. Shout out to Nika Motri for putting on a good event last night. But, yeah, I'm at the program, so my phone rings, and I'm in church. Yeah, that's where they had the program at. It was at a church. And I look at my phone. I can't take the phone call inside church. I'm going to go to voicemail. Right. Forgot that my voicemail isn't set up on my phone because I just switched phones. So after the program, you know, I go out to the car. I call the guy back. No answer. I pull up to the door. At 6:30, they left a daggone, sorry we missed you note on my door. So I'm scrambling. I could have had it fixed last night, but, you know, Black History Month took precedence, you know. And
I agree with that.
So I'm not too mad about that. You know, the program was really important. They celebrated, you know, good fathers and stuff like that. And, yeah. So I think, again, all in all, I think I ruined the Super Bowl for my kids, man. So I don't know what I'm going to do for myself. All in one day, man. All in one day.
So you hopefully
the team old gods will look down on me and bless me with a DirecTV technician today. So we'll see.
So you disconnected the cable that clearly said do not disconnect.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to I need to run this through my mind again. So it said do not disconnect, and you say, well, you know, that don't mean nothing. Let me just go ahead and do this real quick, and, you know, I'll put it back in and reset and everything we got. That's what happened.
So this is what happens when you spend 14 years in the military and you have nothing to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm looking at, you know, I'm thinking about movies I've seen, TV shows I've seen where the father's at home because he got injured or he, you know, retired from work, and now he's just at home just destroying the house, doing plumbing, doing, you know, light fixtures and stuff like that, you know, doing electrical work, and he's killing everybody in the house because he has nothing to do. You know what I mean? So I think that's where I'm at right now. I think that was my first blooper was destroying my DirecTV. So hopefully, you know, I can get myself together and not break anything else, but so far, that's the major thing.
Okay. And you think that in some form or fashion you're going to be able to correct this before the Super Bowl kicks off tomorrow? I'm just asking.
I'm hoping. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, good luck with that, and I wish you well. But if you need a play-by-play, just let me know, and I'll definitely, you know, keep you abreast of what's happening. Or, you know, maybe you can take the whole family to a sports bar or something. Maybe that would be the better option. So the dude doesn't come.
No, I don't think I can have my kids in Buffalo Wild Wings or Hooters. You know, I've never been that kind of. Yeah, I don't think that's a good thing to do.
Not a good look?
No, not a good look at all.
Okay. All right, well, now that I got my laugh out, because that was funny. You didn't tell me. No wonder you didn't want to tell me. He called me, and I forgot I didn't have a voice message. So by the time I got to the call.
Yeah, there's nothing came together yesterday at all, you know.
Nothing.
But it's all good, though. Today's a new day.
All right, so let's continue with the trend. Super Bowl 50 is tomorrow. It's clear the AFC champion are the Denver Broncos. The NFC champion are the Carolina Panthers. Who are you taking?
Carolina Panthers. 34-17,
okay.
Carolina.
So what's the score?
34-17.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Cam Newton wins MVP. He going to kill it.
That's bold.
I try. I think it's definitely going to be a defensive showdown for the most part. I think that the Panthers are going to start both halves like killing Denver. And then towards the end of both halves, Denver's defense is going to kind of settle out. I think they game plan so much for Cam Newton and his running game that they're going to take for granted his throwing arm.
Right.
And it's going to allow his receivers to go off. I think both tight ends, Ed Dixon and Greg Olsen, are going to kill in the short intermediate game Tegan, Funches, all them guys, they're gonna catch some deep passes. They're gonna kill them. Because Cam Newton, he is a pocket passer who can run.
Who can run,
and
right, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I agree with
I
that.
Think, you know, and I think they game planned too much for his, you know, for his running ability. And you're not going to stop him from running because he can run you over. Yeah, he's not afraid to go up the middle.
He's big as a linebacker.
Yeah. He's not afraid to go up the middle and lay the wood on somebody. He's not afraid of that. So
right.
When you have a quarterback who has an arm as a threat, and everything else, then, yeah, I mean, you really can't game plan too much on one thing. So that's what's going to happen.
Okay. Do you think he'll dab?
Oh, yeah, he's going to go off. That's a Super Bowl. I don't think he's going to change anything about himself. I think he's addressed, you know, all the critics in his fashion. You know, I did not expect for him to go in on the media like he did earlier in the week with the race talks, but it was important that he did do that, and he did it the right way. He didn't shy away from it. He didn't take too much offense to it. He accepted, you know, his personality and what his personality brings, you know, as far as the criticism. He accepted that. But he doesn't tolerate the disrespect that comes along with it, and I can respect that. You know, people tried. Some of the media tried to really go in on him. He didn't take the bait. You know, he didn't again respond to it in an obnoxious way. He handled it well. For him to not dab, that would mean that he's not being true to himself, and that's one of his things that he's been really pushing is being true to Cam Newton. If he can look in the mirror and say, I am who I am, and I deal without, you know, and he said he wants to do it his way. He's not doing anything wrong. Like people said before, you know, you got, what's the dude's name? Aaron Rodgers with discount double check. That's cool. You know what I'm saying? Somebody compared him to Elvis and talked about how when Elvis came on the scene, how, you know, parents and, you know, certain conservative people really hated Elvis's dance moves and stuff like that, but Elvis is the greatest of all time. You know, the greatest in the
band. Too much gyrating, that's what he was saying.
Right, you know, so, but again, he went down to history as the greatest entertainer of all time. So, I think that with him, for him to not celebrate the way he celebrated, I wouldn't go overboard with it. I think he realized that he can't go overboard with it, but I think he is going to continue to celebrate. Or if not, it's going to take away his entire fight that he's been, you know, that he's been on for the last year.
He's pretty close to a contract renegotiation.
Oh yeah.
What do you think he's going to be broken off at?
He'll definitely be the highest paid player in the NFL when this contract is negotiated. I don't think anybody is touching him right now, man. Like, you talk about being polarizing. Like, this dude is, like, killing it on every single level. I mean, the kids love him because he's giving, you know, the footballs away every game. You know, the parents of the kids are loving him because he just, you know, made the kids year. Or, you know, they probably, you know, made somebody's dream come true. His teammates love him. Other teams got to respect him. You know, coaches respect him. I don't think any player, you know, there's been a few players here and there who don't like the dance move, but and you're supposed to not like it when somebody is dancing on your turf and make you look bad. But outside of that, I think every player in the league respects him. I don't think any player in the league thinks he's arrogant, thinks he's, you know, pompous or anything. I think they just don't. In a competitive nature of the game, they don't like him when he danced. They want to fight when he danced. After that, they probably, you don't want to dap it up. And, hey, bro, you know, sorry about earlier. You know, let's go to dinner. I don't think anybody dislikes this guy. So when you're talking about the NFL and everything going on with CTE and concussion protocols and stuff like that, they need something good to attract kids to the NFL. Because right now everybody's running scared from full contact football. It's a real big push to kids to go towards flag football and the Pop Warner leagues up until high school, you know, then they can go ahead and play full contact football. So, you know, if people are predicting that in a few years, the NFL won't be around. In order for you to keep that image going or keep that attractiveness going, you have to have somebody like Cam Newton as the face of your franchise with his charisma, with his, you know, his, him being able to be as polarizing as he is actually good for the NFL. It's killing the airwaves right now, Cam Newton. And all you see in the background is that NFL patch.
What in the hell is CTE? See, this is my beef because, and we're going to get to the Zekia too, but CTE is the NFL's clever campaign to not say concussion. That's what it is. It's their, what is CTE? Have you ever heard of CTE?
I never heard of it until recently. But it's ultimately the concussions. But it's the disorder that comes from sustaining concussions over a long period of time. So it's like the deterioration of the brain, in a sense.
I'm with that, but I'm saying that this is the NFL's clever way to disguise the fact that they have a concussion problem. This is them changing the verbiage, and words matter. So this is them taking some of the pressure off of themselves by creating this new terminology, or I shouldn't say new, but different terminology, and then pumping that terminology into the public psyche versus sticking with something that everyone can identify and everyone understands, which is a concussion. So the other day just broke, I think it was yesterday while you playing, the quarterback, and I forget what team he played for off the top of my head, but he had CTE in him, and this was just, I'm like, what the hell is CTE? Why are we trying to mix words? We're trying to mix words because as a PR campaign, it softens the tone. It kind of takes them off the hook. So you get to confusing people. You get to confusing the electorate. The electorate then doesn't turn around and press hard against their representatives, be it state or federal, turn around and press hard against the NFL and say, yo, y'all need to do something. You know what I'm saying? Set up a fund, because you're absolutely right. Come out and admit this can happen to you if you play this game. However, if you play this game and we make billions off of you, which some fuckers do make, they make billions off of them, we're going to set away some millions so that you're taken care of for the rest of y'all, if it happens to you. You know what I'm saying? So words matter, and they're playing this PR game with people's lives and their livelihood in order for them to scoot out of this as clean as possible. Now, they're not going to scoot out clean because, you know, too many people are aware of what's going on, but they'll come out cleaner than they were and or would have if the word concussion was constantly thrown around. And to your point, the prediction of the collapse of the NFL, you don't let your children play football if you hear concussion, 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 concussion. You allow your children to play football if you hear CTE, because you don't know what the fuck CTE is. Let's just be real. Let's be real. If you're not tuned to the English language, if you're not in tune to the media, if you're not in tune to this show, you know, or a person that would be in tune to this show, then you don't know what the hell CTE is. You say, oh, that's that thing that they that one guy got, or that two guy got. And that's it. That's it. You're not thinking about it beyond that. You're not on Google looking it up. You're not on YouTube searching for symptoms of CTE. You're not doing that. What you're worried about is this young man is going to make you admit when his name is called, wherever the draft is, that, because remember, you used to always be in the same place, so I got to say, wherever the draft happens to be that year, that's what you're concerned is. That's your meal ticket out of the situation that you're in right now. That's your meal ticket. There was a posting online just the other day, one of my mans and them put up, about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He graduated on time as a student athlete. On time as a student athlete. Because he understood at a very young age that student was the most important part of that phrase. But you get so many of these young folks whom are so impoverished, and their families are so impoverished, both numerically, socially, and they go and put their kids in situations where they're fulfilling dreams that they push the children into fulfilling dreams that they have for themselves and they couldn't pull off, or, you know, they just ride their children's coattails as a meal ticket. Not all of them, but a good number of them, and that's a fair assessment. That's a fair assessment. That's a very fair assessment, in my opinion. Would you disagree? Okay. All right. So this is one of those times where.
Yeah, my bad, man.
I'm on my own. It's okay. I mean, you weren't feeling well. I was looking away, not looking at you as I did my rant. And when I was like, okay, get this about me. Right. That's why I said this is one of those times where you needed a moment to yourself. And as I was about to continue that, you actually got back in, so it's all good. Would you not agree with that assessment, though?
I don't know, man. At the end of the day, I think it comes down to money. And, you know, with the NFL is too big. And, I mean, we're talking about playing games in London. We're talking about playing games down in Mexico.
Mexico City,
you know,
next year.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the game is getting too big. For it to dissipate. Feel like...
Is the NFL too big to fail?
Huh?
Is the NFL too big to fail?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It does too much for too many people. I mean, the employment of young black men, you know, who all they do is dream about, you know, playing in the NFL. You know, well, not just young black men, young men for any race. And again, now we're extending it to Hispanics. You know what I'm saying? Now we're extending it to people outside of the United States. It's becoming a global sport, much like soccer. But actually, it's actually bigger than soccer because soccer is big in Europe, of course. They make a lot of money overseas. But everybody watches the steps that the U.S. takes. So it's something. I mean, I don't understand why it's taken this long for the NFL to become popular outside of our borders, but it is very popular now, and it's taken off. Like I was watching ESPN the other day, and they actually do a commercial in Spanish on regular ESPN. Like, I mean, Normally that was just left to Telemundo or something like that. You know what I mean? Like the Spanish speaking channels would have the Spanish, would have the Spanish commercials. But now they're introducing it to our culture. They're showing our culture. Hey, look, this is becoming global. We're not going to just separate it now. We're going to merge everything together. So as they continue to merge everything together, it's going to be huge, man. I'm doing in my Donnie voice, huge. As Donald Trump would say, you know, and I don't think that I really like you said. I really feel like it's too big to fail, man. The NFL is bonkers, man, and it's not going anywhere. They can't even. I mean, even if they try, I mean, I think that the NFL's attitude towards concussion is like, yo, it is what it is, and they're just checking the block. I don't really care. Huh?
It's a cost of doing business.
Yeah. I mean, you have so many NFL players or former NFL players say it. Look, you have a choice to make coming into the NFL. It's a full contact sport. You got, you know, the opportunity to break bones, you know, lose limbs. You know, people have lost fingers playing the game, getting their fingers smashed in between helmets and crap like that. Like, it's happened. People lost teeth. People, you know, destroy their limbs and stuff. Like, this is what the game is. It's a barbaric sport. And what you can put padding, you can have all the technology as you know that you want to have. But the fact of the matter is, what makes the NFL game so intriguing is the contact, is how barbaric it is. That's what attracts people. I mean, if you go back to the ancient times, man, like the Roman Colosseum, Roman Colosseums were packed watching gladiator sports. That's part of our nature, is to watch barbarians just destroy each other. It's not going to change. Again, the NFL is doing what they have to do to check the block. And I'm not saying check the block meaning, like, you know, to hell with these people in their bodies, in their lives. I don't think the NFL is that incompassionate. But they do recognize this is a business. I don't think they're incompassionate. I do. Really?
Yep.
How?
Because it's the cost of doing business, and you understand and you recognize that you have an unlimited amount of people whom are beating down your door to play. Unlimited.
Right.
Now let's be real. It's only about what .36% of all collegiate athletes that ever make it to the NFL. I mean, it's stupid. The number of the chances of getting drafted in the NFL so small as compared to those who try. It's ridiculous. So you have an endless resource of individuals who want to play. They want to be on television. They want to be that warrior. They want to, they want to be the next Ray Lewis, the next Sweetness, the next Jerry Rice, the next Joe Montana, the next. And I know I'm going back and forth with all these different names from old school to new. They want to be the next Aaron Rodgers, the next Cam Newton. They want to be that next person. They want it. So why would they care? Like, yo, this is what we do. This is our business. We're making a boatload of money to have this happen. We know the demand is there. Give the people what they want. Give the people what they want. Yeah, it's going to hurt some people. Oh, well, so it happened. There are consequences in every war. There are casualties in every war. It's the cost of doing business. Yeah, it's your chances of getting in the NFL. 1 in 17 players have a chance, and that's roughly 5.8% of NCAA senior players drafted by an NFL team. Come on, man. I'm sorry, high school senior players going to play in the NCAA men's football. That's 1 in 17, or 5.8%. Of seniors that get drafted, 1 in 50, or 2% of them actually make it to the NFL. Come on, dog. 1 in 50? You got 49 other people that's willing to take that person's spot. Every spot, every position. Every position. It's costing no business, dog. As long as the sponsors are there and continue to pay for it, as long as the people continue to pack the stands, as long as the stadiums keep getting bigger and people still come, as long as you can sell your PSL or whatever your stadium or city or team calls it, and, I mean, sell them like that, just in a flick of an eye. Say on Monday they go for sale, and on Friday there's already a line queuing up. By Saturday, it's 1,000 people in the line. By Sunday, you got to call the cops in to keep control. Why would you care? The human thing to do is care. That is true. But let's be real. This is dollars and cents. Those people are capital. They are. Some investments are going to pay off forever. Others, you're going to take on the chin. Others, you're going to take on the chin. I was talking just yesterday, about the kid for the Ravens. The tight end, it's not Dick,
Pitta.
It's Pitta. Yeah, Pitta. So, look, it's time to write that kid a check, or tell him that the last check is his last check, say thank you very much and keep it moving. He is a bust. He tried. His body cannot maintain. It is time to really sit down with the lawyers and step away from the situation. It's time. Because he is nothing more than a dud and a huge cost to the Ravens organization. So they got to step away and break that chain. Pay him off, let him walk, and recoup that money and spend it somewhere else where you really need to spend it. But you can't do that as long as you keep dragging this kid along. You got to cut him off. You got to cut him off. You know what I'm saying? It's business, man. It's not personal. It's business. And he's an asset that never worked out. So when you get these kids out here, these other kids out here that take hits and take hits and take hits and take hits, and later on something happens to them, you say, okay, boom. It's like going to the VA. You know what I'm saying? Most of us have shin problems. Something's wrong with our legs. Why? Because those freaking boots were the cheapest damn things they could damn find. They know that. They understand that. And it's a calculated risk to how many of us are going to come back and say, yo, you know what? I can't live like this, man. Somebody needs to pay me. Okay, we'll pay you. But they're going to make you go through crap in order to get that check. They'll pay you, but they're going to make you go through crap in order for you to get that check. But there are so many others that will never file a claim that it's a win for them. No matter what they do to you, it is their goal to discourage you from actually going through with the claims process. And once you get to the end, they say, oh, well, okay, well, he or she wrote it through. Let's pay him. That's it. That's it. Give you a little piece of change every month, and, you know, you're good. They cap the level. They won't even be truthful in the fact that as you get older, it's going to get worse. Nope. You can only get but this. That's all you can get. At least we're giving you something. Be happy with that and move on. Same situation.
Yeah, I agree, and I disagree. I agree with the fact that, yeah, it definitely is a business. But, you know, in playing football, you know, all my life, even, you know, I play semi-pro. And on every level of football, you'll see that, yes, it's a business, but I get to know your families. I get to meet your wife, you know, meet your kids, meet your parents and stuff like that. So you develop these relationships where you have a certain kind of loyalty to certain players. Now, maybe not all, and maybe not every player that's on the roster, because, again, you know, some players are closer than others, but they might feel some kind of loyalty to Dennis Pitta. And it's because it may be because of a personal relationship. I don't understand why they keep trying on them, but they have been. And what I can only talk about to the fact that they may have a personal, you know, kind of respect for Dennis Pitta, and they feel that that's certain kind of loyalty for him. And you see it a lot in NFL. It's not just Dennis Pitta. It's been a lot of players who, you know, just be like, look, man, let this dude go. Not to mention, talent overrides everything. How in the hell do you think that somebody like Johnny Manziel can continue to play in the NFL? Because his talent is great. His upside, his potential is great. So they're holding on, hoping that if we can get this kid straight, that, you know, we'll have this breakthrough and he'll be the best quarterback, you know, in the history of the league. They're hoping. So they're willing to put up with his foolishness and his lies and stuff like that. Any other quarterback, a second or third string? Look at the kid for the Denver Broncos who didn't get
Tebow
arrested. Huh?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Tebow. The practice squad kid?
Yeah. You know, he's a practice squad kid. He's expendable, so he can go back home. But he didn't get arrested. He was questioned because of a prostitution ring, and they sent them packing. You know, so his talent is not that great because he's not on the main squad. Therefore, he's expendable. But when you have talent that's out there, and it might be that franchise quarterback or that franchise running back, then you do everything you can to hold on to him. And then if Tenna has that kind of upside, so they're hoping that, hey, maybe we'll have a breakthrough with him and, you know, we can get some return on our investment. So
ain't going to happen.
It doesn't seem like it's going to happen. It's too much. It's too frequent. And, I think his body just not going to be able to withstand the beatdown and stuff. You know, but that's the point that I'm making as far as the NFL not being totally insensitive. Because, yes, it is a business. But, again, once you start looking at parents and, you know, meeting the parents and meeting the kids and stuff like that, you do develop a certain kind of compassion for the individuals. Now, on the field, they're players. And that's how you're able to, a player gets hurt, you say a prayer, you go back out there, you snap the ball, and you have fun, and you win the game. Then you go back to feeling bad for the player and want to see how they're doing. But athletes, just like soldiers, are trained, keep your brain on a mission, keep focused on the mission. Then you go back and you mourn or whatever the case may be. You don't have time to, this is money. You know, and the NFL is about money. Every second is money, and the military, you know, every second is a life that can be lost. So you're trained to really turn that switch on and off on when to care and when not to care. So I don't think that the NFL is totally insensitive to the concussion protocol or concussions in general. I think that they're trying to save face and kind of, you know, tone it down a little bit, or what's the word I'm looking for? Soften it up. But at the same time, I don't think they're just like throwing these people away, like whatever the hell with them. I don't think that any company wants people to lose their lives because of their product. And the NFL has a product. And I don't think that they want to be associated with lost lives solely because of their product. You get what I'm saying?
I understand.
So
I don't agree, but I understand.
Right, now I get you.
And I don't think that they're totally insensitive, but I'm saying to you that they have made the decision that they understand that this is a part of doing business. This is simply
part
of doing business. So instead of them boo-hooing and hooing over every player that gets hurt like this and suffers like this, they have come to the conclusion that it's best for the shield, because that's what Goodell keeps referring to the NFL as, you know, we must protect the shield. In order to protect the shield, it's best that they have set aside a fund and utilize that fund to put some money in these cats' pockets in order to keep them sustained for as however long they remain on this earth and keep it pressing. But they will never go out and at the NFL combine and say directly, look, I need you all to understand that this is a part of the game. And if you cross this line, if you choose to continue down this path, this is something that can happen to you. But they will never do that. They will never do that in high school. They're not going to do it at the collegiate level to give these cats some options throughout the years. They're not going to say it after they get drafted. It's not going to happen. They've made the decision in the best interest for their interest, their pockets to continue to be lined, for them to push this thing as far away from the truth as possible. This is why I think the change in verbiage has come in very recently, the CTE versus concussion. That's simply my point, as I could state it best. I see that as the reasoning for that. Again, CTE is very confusing. You don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Where the hell did it come from? This just popped up out of nowhere. Yet, you very rarely do you ever hear in a news story now, former NFL player passed away due to concussions. Now you hear former NFL player passed away, it may be CTE related. What the hell is CTE? That's it. I mean, it was something that caught me the other day as I was listening about the young man, again, the one that just passed away, and I was like, when did this start? Them using the proper medical definition for concussions versus them just saying concussions. When did this start? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's a play on words. They're trying to water it down so they can weasel out of it as best they can so they can reduce their exposure to responsibility. It's the American way, family. Be it we like it or not, it's the American way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree with you. Yeah, I just I don't see it turning out the way some people predict it. You know, that money is too big, man. So, again, I wish all the players well. You know, I definitely don't wish any luck, you know, any ill will towards anybody. I enjoy watching the Super Bowl. So, hopefully, in 10 years, we'll still have a Super Bowl. We'll see. So, the Iowa caucuses, man. Donald Trump predicted, he predicted that he was going to win, and he lost. So I'm going to change his name to Donnie Boo Boo. Because this dude be crying like all get out, man. And I don't understand why he cries so much.
It was the media. You know, I had such a huge lead. I don't know what happened. Obviously, you know, the media comes in and they spread all this spew about me. And, you know, I was, look, I wasn't in Iowa as much as these other guys. I understand that. But, you know, we're here now. We're in New Hampshire. We're embedded. And what you're going to see is a huge victory. It's going to be huge. The victory is going to be huge. Just saying. I don't know how big it's going to be. Really don't know how big it's going to be, but it's going to be huge. You know, hey, tip my hat off to Ted there. He won. Yeah, it is what it is. But we're here now. We're fully engaged. My ground game is strong, and we're going to win. We're going to win New Hampshire. We're going to go further than that. We're going to win South Carolina. You know, we're going to win both, and it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. Donald
That's
Trump.
That's the Donnie for you, man.
But did you notice that how quiet funny, his Twitter account got?
Oh, yeah. They definitely took a back seat, man. I mean, and he has to. He got to shut the hell up.
The Trump reign is over. The fact that people came out to see him, I have thought for some time that was more about his celebrity, than honestly about his chances of winning the nomination. It showed in Iowa. I think it's really going to show again in New Hampshire. It's definitely going to show in South Carolina. He may pull off Nevada. And the only reason I say he may pull off Nevada is because a lot of people work for him there. So that personal connection to him may carry him in Nevada. And I stress the word may. It may not even carry him in Nevada. Then afterward, I think it's really going to be downhill for Trump if he stays in that long. What you're going to find is the tree is going to shake again after Vermont. And I think you're going to see Carly Fiorina finally bow. I think Jeb might even bow. And if he doesn't, Jeb will bow out after South Carolina because he's going to get Plymouth there too. So you'll see Carly Fiorina bow out. Christie is not going to make as strong of a statement in Vermont as he thinks he's going to make. I see him coming in fourth, maybe even fifth. Then you have to focus on our boy, the doctor, the good doctor, Ben Carson. And he's just going to fall apart. He's going to get embarrassed. in Vermont, he may have a decent showing in South Carolina, but the evangelicals are going to be split between he and Cruz. And with Cruz having the momentum of not only Iowa, but also Vermont, they're going to lean more toward Cruz than Ben Carson. And then it's really going to be on. It'll get trimmed down to pretty much a three-person race on the Republican side after New Hampshire and South Carolina. It's pretty much going to be three persons. And then you can sit back and figure out who the next person is going to fall out. And I think that's going to be Trump. I really do. He's at some point he's going to get tired of putting his money into something that he's going to have to sit back and realize he can't win. He'll go back quietly and negotiate another contract with some damn body for a new show, and that'll pay him a boatload of money, and he'll just slide off and do that, and he'll be fine with that. Because
I was thinking about that too. I really don't think that he wants to be the president of the United States.
Mm-mm. Not at all. Not enough money.
Huh?
It's not enough money.
Well, not only that, I mean, because I don't think, well, of course he wants to make more money, but.
We're talking about Donald Trump.
I think he's in this race to make more money. Because regardless of what the result is, he's going to win. So he could be the last, you know, he could come in last place, and he's still going to win. He's on the TV every day. Everybody's talking about him. We talked about this before, about, you know, how he's polarizing in a sense. It may not be in a good way for most people, but every day is something about Donald Trump in the news. So that's definitely good for business. People are going to want to go to his hotels and frequent whatever business he has just because he's been running for president.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, I mean, everything he's doing is a good business stance. Like, even when he's at the podium, he doesn't identify himself as a politician. Because, first of all, he's not a politician. He's a businessman. But when he's at the podium, he said it a thousand times over. Oh, those politicians, man, they sure are this, they sure are that. Like, he doesn't identify himself as a politician as it is. So how the hell are you going to run a country?
Mm-hmm.
You know nothing about politics. You know how to bash people. You know how to insult people like crazy, but you're not a politician. And he said it himself. He is a businessman. That is it. End of statement.
That is it, and that is all. You know, he's definitely played this thing well, very, very well for himself. The back and forth of being the front runner, not being the front runner, keeping his cool, redefining how politics work in this country at a national level, because he has. He very much has. The way he's controlled this thing from basically out of the gate, totally different than anything anyone's seen before in political history on a national level. So, though I don't think anyone will follow his strategy step by step in the future, he has laid down a couple of nuggets that some people can pick up and run with later on.
Yeah,
his use of social media just of itself is off the chain. But you can't even accredit that to him totally, because think about how different things would be and how different things would look if Obama didn't come in office and insist on having a BlackBerry. He came in office insisting on having his BlackBerry. So I will give up everything and anything. I'll give up my driver's license. I'll give up this, that. I can't give up my phone. I need a phone. And he was made a phone. You know what I'm saying? So that. And then he has kept in touch with the younger generation via Facebook, via Twitter, so on and so forth. You know, he has always been on the mission to connect to people where they are now versus how they have been connected to in the past. So that's why I said you can't ascribe that fully to to Donald Trump. However, he has capitalized on what Obama did, start the foundation, lay the foundation for, I should say. So, you know, you get a man his props, man. He's done extremely well for himself in this trickery of a campaign. He's done two times around. He's done extremely well for himself, because remember, he ran the last go around, and he bowed out of that around February, March, in order to renew his contract with NBC for Apprentice. So let's just say that the man is consistent.
I mean, comparing this campaign with the last campaign, I mean, even if we don't agree with what he's doing, this campaign has definitely been more effective, you know, for himself. I mean, last campaign, people probably don't even remember that he ran last campaign.
Correct.
The last election. But this time you will never forget that he ran. You know what I'm saying? So, again, for him it's a win. I mean, he lost money the last campaign. He lost a lot. He didn't gain much of anything the last campaign. This campaign, he will gain a lot because he's riled up those hick Americans. And I'm not going to say white people, because there's been black and white people who have been on his job since he started running. And they're hicks to me. And they will support him to the death. So even after this campaign, they're going to be going to his restaurants and going to his daggone, all of his establishments, and he's going to stand to make a lot of money after this.
Mm-hmm.
So again, for him, it's definitely a win. Hmm. I'm surprised that my boy O'Malley bowed out as early as he did. That's
nah,
the most surprising.
Nah, I'm not at all. I mean, he after that shellacking that he took in Iowa, where he didn't even receive 1% of the vote. And it's funny because I saw this meme on Facebook the other day. You know the State Farm commercial with the older dude that comes in with the fishing pole that has a dollar. It's like, oh, almost got you.
Yeah,
they,
almost
somebody put up a meme. Somebody put up a meme the other day of O'Malley. It's like 1% of the vote, and he's dangling from it. Oh, almost had it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
That's cold blooded, man.
He is still mired in controversy here in the state of Maryland. So he had to get over and through that. Then, let's be real, he's still young. So he tested the waters, as he should test the waters. Dog, let me tell you where I see O'Malley at. Because this dude is smart. He's dumb, but he's smart. So I see him. Because I think Debbie Wasserman Schultz is going to step away from being the chairperson of the Democratic Committee. And I really see O'Malley taking over that position. He is very much liked by the president. He is a darling of the party. He didn't say anything negative about anybody that he was going against. He's a former governor. He's a former mayor. He has the credentials to make it happen. So I truly see him taking over the DNC and seeing what comes about and seeing what happens. I was talking to somebody the other day about Stephanie Rollins Blake, because she decided not to run for re-election for mayor of the city of Baltimore. Very good decision on her part.
Yeah.
But I too say she's not making a dummy move. She's making a smart move. She's making a move that's going to put her in a position that will springboard her forward very shortly. She needs 4 to 6 years to allow Finch of everything that she did not do here in Baltimore to fall off of her. And then she can then come back and, you know, go hard and go stronger and longer. So she has been the president of the National Mayoral Association.
Yeah.
And though she has to give that up when she stops being mayor, I see some type of spinoff organization that they're tied to or something of that nature, she being asked to head up and then she chairing. So I see her putting herself in a very strong position where she can lay low, yet still be involved in the game, still have strong contacts in the game, so whenever she wants to come back, she can. She's not a bad lady. She's a very smart lady. She's very politically savvy. I think that she was in over her head, taking on a little too much here, and she didn't surround herself, which there's nothing wrong with that. But the other side to being in over your head is you then have to turn and surround with people with people who are going to help save your ass. And for whatever her reason, she did not surround herself with people that were really going to save her ass. And even with the addition of the young lady Marilyn Mosby, she is a candidate that I don't think over the long term is going to be as bright as she is right now in the short. So we'll see.
It's a lot of shakeup, you know, in our country's politics. You have what happened in Baltimore. You have what's happening in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And the political ramifications surrounding all of these things, I think that people are really tired of the people in positions not standing up and making those tough decisions. You know, they're politicking it too much, and it's costing lives in the meantime.
Mm.
Elijah Cummings, once again, went off on a fellow politician because of them not doing their job appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he went off on some leadership from Detroit. I can't remember the guy's first name, but I know his last name is Craig because it's spelled weird. I mean, and Elijah Cummings lit in this guy. And the purpose of his whole statement was, regardless of the color of their skin, you know, their political views, their religious backgrounds, whatever the case may be, their gender, whatever, these are Americans and not a third world country. Leaders of our states need to step up and do what they're supposed to do. And if you're not able to, you need to step down and step aside. Don't just fill a position just because it sounds nice. You know, there's a lot of things that I can do. I could run for mayor if I want to. Anybody can go, well, not anybody. Anybody who's not a convicted felon, you know, can run for, these top positions. And you might mess around and win. So when you go there and you decide that you want to put yourself in a position to become a mayor, a councilman, representative, senator, whatever the case may be, you have to know that there's a possibility that you might be hit with some serious stuff. And are you able to deal with it? Are you able to navigate through the stuff? Are you able to come out on top of it and save the people that you work for? And I don't think that these mayors across our country now really understand their position and work for their citizens. They work for themselves. They work for the governors, but they don't work for the citizens of the cities that they represent. And I think that's something that we really have to push as citizens, that you work for me as a mayor. We elected you to be our first line of defense when it comes down to our issues. And just like Stephanie Rollins, like you said, she's not a bad person, but I don't think that she worked for the citizens of Baltimore City. Because, again, one thing I always go back to is, if you worked for the citizens of Baltimore City, what the hell was you thinking about bringing the Grand Prix to Baltimore? Well, black people watch the Grand Prix like that.
Mm.
You lost money. You lost millions of dollars.
A boatload of money.
Millions of dollars of taxpayers' money to bring the Grand Prix because you thought it would sound nice for you to say that I did this. But it wasn't doing anything for the citizens of the city at all. It made you look good for a second, but then it made you look bad afterwards because it was a bad business decision. There's so many other things that money could have went to, like the urban revitalization of that city.
Well,
so
no.
Now you try to save it, and you start with this new plan to tear down the old houses and stuff like that. Now, 3 years later.
But see, here's your problem. You're thinking about this at a wide birth level. Now, let's be honest and understand that this was a project that her boy had on the table. This is a project that O'Malley had on the table, and he couldn't get it to go through. So he left it. Now, when she comes along, he gets in her ear like, yo, I think this would be a good idea. You know what I'm saying? I think this would work. This should be good. You know, let's make this happen. You know, whatever support you need from me, I got you, blah, 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 blah. Now, her dumb ass said, oh, yeah, that sounds
right.
Real good. So here she goes, following him, do-do-do-do-do, and as soon as it started breaking left, he was like, yeah, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm out. Yeah, a little heat starting to come now. No, that was her idea. And left her ass holding the bag, and she
hold
said,
the bag.
Like,
yeah.
See, what happened was, no, ain't no what happened was, you were the one at the wheel at that time, so, you know, we can't hold him accountable. Now it was. It now, in effect, is your decision.
Yeah.
So,
because it was. It was his idea.
What the hell was that all about? Right.
No, because it was his idea, and it was her plan to execute. So, again, like I said earlier in the statement, she did a good job working for the governor, but she didn't do a good job working for the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the point that I made. He came down and said, hey, do this, and she said, okay. And she did it. Not understanding that it was not going to help the citizens at all. Not looking at the numbers and realizing that, okay, you know, we need to make X amount of money for it to be something that's beneficial to our city. They didn't look at the numbers. They looked at something being fun and something different, and we could be on a map, and if it turns out great, you know, then Baltimore can do this and blah, 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 blah. Don't know black people in Baltimore look at the Grand Prix. Baltimore's a black city. Now, if you had it in Atlantic City, something totally different. I mean, not Atlantic City, Ocean City. If you had it out in Ocean City, something totally different. If you had it in Annapolis, something totally different. Baltimore's a black city. Ain't no tourists coming to Baltimore. People are afraid. You got to clean up your city. As far as the violence is concerned, before you bring something like the Grand Prix there, because the Grand Prix can attract big money. You can have people coming from all over the world to watch the Grand Prix, but not somewhere like Baltimore. Baltimore's world renowned for The Wire, and everybody knows that The Wire is real. Somebody trying to come be no tourists in Baltimore at nighttime? Every time I run into somebody, man, I'm like, oh, man, I got lost in Baltimore one night, man. Oh, my God. I was scared of them. I mean, and these people are supposed to be, you know, hard folks, but they're scared to come to
Baltimore.
Hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bragging thing. It's a thing about, okay, again, as a politician, you need to understand that. You need to understand that, again, Baltimore is a black city. We love horse racing, so why not do something to make Pimlico better? Why not do that? Why not do something to make, you know, that the last leg of the Triple Crown? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. It is definitely going to be a blemish on her. regardless of O'Malley, if it being his idea or not, she had the opportunity to say no, and she didn't say no.
No, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what that was truly about. That was his thing, not her thing. You know, it was left. It was left over, left behind, and she saw it. She was like, "Yo." He was like, "Yeah." She was like, "All right, cool. I'll support you." However, when it started breaking up, he was like, "Yeah." He was like, "Yeah." Remember when I'll be over here. I'm over here chilling right now, and deal with that because I'm over here. And left that ass high and dry. Left that ass high and dry.
Well, like, for example, you see what your boy Hogan did with the, was it the red line proposal?
Mm-hmm. He redlined it. Yeah, he redlined
stopped it. You know what I'm saying? No, not going to do it. I don't care what the...
Yeah.
Again, in the military, we have this thing, when I come to a place, I leave it better than the way I received it. Now, people may not agree with the things that I do, but just because something is in place when I got, something was in motion when I got there, once I get it in my hand, I have that responsibility to look at it with a new set of eyes and clean it up if necessary. And if it's something that's good and it can continue to go forward, I push it forward. But if I see any red flags, I need to put a halt to it. I need to stop it, slow it down. And again, it might piss some people off. But it's under my watch. You're not going to put something on my plate and say, hey, if it fails, you're going to say, oh, yeah, it's your fault. But y'all was working on it 3 years before I got here. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we might not agree with what he did with the red line. But he did it. He said, no, this money's going here. We're not doing that right now. I feel like... Yeah, it's a great need for this money somewhere else. Every day.
I disagree with his call on the red line. I think the red line.
Yeah, I do too. I disagree with.
I think the red line.
That's his point.
I think the red line, though, it didn't need to go through. I think that a project similar to it is still necessary because you have flight outside of the city, and that flight is occurring to the area in which the red line was chartered to deal with, and the people whom are fleeing the city actually still work in the city, though. So you need that service to come back. Now, I've not agreed with the red line as it was proposed, but I do say that maybe an L needs to happen because there was talk about tunneling, okay, into the city in order to make the red line happen. It's like that doesn't make any sense. But if you do an L, you do an elevated platform similar to what Chicago has, similar to what New York has, similar to what other municipalities have. Now, that may work better for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think something should have happened along those lines. Now, it was also his ignorance and arrogance because he – and her got into a beef, which is always going to be a problem for Baltimore because, and I think I've said this on the show, Baltimore is the largest independent city in the nation. We have our own charter, which is difficult for a governor to wrap his or her mind around the fact that you have a municipality within your realm of operations that you really don't control. Baltimore controls its own destiny. Baltimore has its own budget. It's substituted or filled in, if you will, by the state, but Baltimore can create its own budget. The state doesn't say, well, we're going to give you X amount of dollars to operate. We feel like you need money here, da, 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 da. Baltimore does it itself. And then Baltimore turns around and says, okay, we have a budget shortfall of $3 million, so we need $3 million, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's very difficult for someone in government to swallow because they truly have no say-so about where that money is going to go. The city just comes and says, we need money. And in a lot of ways, state has to help. Now, they don't have to fully fund, as we've seen in the past. They've done some shanky and shady stuff where money all of a sudden disappeared or dried up. You know what I'm saying? But that is that's the way it's supposed to work. And because the state doesn't have that direct impact, then the state sometimes, depending on the relationship, can muck around and say, okay, well, we're not going to fully fund you at all. We feel like you should be able to do your own thing, so we're going to allot our resources here, and whatever's left over, that's what we'll give you. And that's where you have those problems at. And I think I've said this before. When we had an advantage when Schmoke was in office, because Schmoke and Clinton went to school together, so if anything ever happened like that, Schmoke would just call Clinton and be like, no, I need some dough. And Clinton would be like, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? I got you. You know, at the time, the Fed was running surpluses. They had that money to spare, so they could do that.
And look at the state of our city. Look at the condition of our city at that time. We was on it.
Yeah. Yep. City that reads, one of the best cities in the nation, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different relationship. Totally different relationship. Totally different relationship. Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But it is what it is. You know, I mean, going back to, let's continue to stay current, going back to your boy Trump, and he wasn't supposed to lose. I mean, he talked of himself as being a winner, and he was going to win, and so on and so forth. Well, he got his ass beat.
Bobby, they cheated.
You know what I'm saying? He looked like Peyton Manning after the Super Bowl. You know, he's on the phone talking about, my, why they whip my ass like this? You know, come get me. You know, it was bad. It was really, really bad. So for him to come back after taking a couple of days to eat crow and to regain his composure, then say, you know, look, we're back in it. We've reorganized. We're pushing forward. We're in this thing for the long haul. That's just his way of skating and skirting. And as I've said, I don't see him going long at all in this. I see him truly bowing out soon, because he's going to get taken out in New Hampshire. I don't think he's going to win New Hampshire. I really don't. And then I don't see him winning in South Carolina. You know, and if he skates in New Hampshire, I definitely don't see him winning in South Carolina. Definitely don't. But anything is possible in this cycle, man. This has been truly unpredictable. This has been some of the funniest debates and what have yous that I've ever seen in my lifetime. You know, I'm only 41 years old, but still, this is definitely one that I will never forget. And I'll be talking about this for a very long time. To my children and my children's children.
Definitely one for the ages, man.
Yeah, man. This is it's been a hell of a ride. There's no other way of saying it. You know, I can't skirt around it. This has been a hell of a ride. This has been funny. It's sadly funny, not funny like.
Yeah, right.
I mean, straight up,
right.
Sadly funny. It's like, wow, this is what we've come to. Okay. Somebody need to come and save us, because we in trouble. If it continues on this path, you know what I mean? Speaking of being saved, so we have about, 7 days before the most hated day that men know, Valentine's Day. So I made a public service announcement on Facebook just Thursday, in which I said that all of my dating activities will be suspended until February 18th, so there's no confusion. So one of my homegirls called me and she said, first off, only your dumb ass would say some shit like that. And second off, how you trying to be cheap? I said, yo, let me tell you something. Dating too damn expensive. You know what I'm saying? This one-way crap is some bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, why don't I get taken out? Take me out some damn time. Call me sometimes, like, hey, you want to go to dinner? What's up with that? Why does that not happen? And then she hit me with that crap about, well, you know, you're supposed to show her. Like, well, okay, when is she going to show me something? I can't get the punana for 90 days. That's what Steve Harvey said. So why can't you take me the goddamn shit, if I can't get no pussy, I might as well get a goddamn steak. What the hell's going on around here? I don't understand. I don't get no pussy, and I don't get no steak. We got problems. You know what I'm saying? To which she continued to laugh, and she just said, "You stupid." And I was like, "All right, whatever. You know, I'm a fool. You know, I'm a fool by nature." So that was about that on that. But yeah, man, I'm just thinking about this whole thing because I'm gonna buy some flowers for my staff, and I'm like, I gotta get them joints early because I go to the cross street market usually to get mine. You know, make sure they're fresh and all that jazz. And if you don't get them early enough, they damn near triple the prices on them jokers. You know what I'm saying? Them things go from a good $8 to $11 a dozen to damn near $30 a dozen just because it's fucking Valentine's Day. Like, nah, I ain't feeling that.
So you said you got to buy flowers for your staff?
Yeah, for the staff, yeah.
You're talking about like co-workers, it's all girls, right?
No, it's not all girls. No. I got it's mostly males on my staff. That's not what I'm talking about. That's why I said coworkers. I broke off the staff and said coworkers. I work with six. I work with six young ladies. So I was gonna
buy some flowers.
Yeah. I usually give everyone that I work with one rose as a, you know, thank you for Valentine's Day and all that type stuff. So, yeah, I got to hook that up. But I'm not waiting until the last minute. You ain't raising damn prices up on my ass. I'm getting them out. They still cheap.
Yeah, put them in the refrigerator. Put them in the bottom of the refrigerator.
And you know it. And you know it. But actually, I'm not working that day, so they're going to get them shits early. As soon as I get them, they're going to get
You go. Buy them early and give them out early, too.
There you go. Like, hey, look, I don't want there to be no misunderstanding. You know what I'm saying? Here you are. Appreciate you much. Have a great one. It's just a thank you. That's all it is. There's nothing to it but thank you. There's nothing behind it but thank you. Just take it if you want it. If you don't, that's fine, too. I'm fine with it. Yeah, I don't take it personally. And that's it, man. But I'm so over the fact that it's only supposed to be one way. That just gets me. It burns me. Something terrible. I want some damn gifts. I want some chocolate. I want a damn.
You know what I mean?
I want a gift certificate to go get a massage.
Well, I mean, if that's what you want, then you got to demand that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that we talked about that before, you know, in relationships as far as communication is concerned. You know, if you don't say this is what you want, you ain't going to get it. Because, you know, the norm is we do it and they chill. But if you want to rewrite that norm, hey, yeah, I think we should do something different this year. How about you buy me something? Not you.
That's not true. You said if you don't say what you want, you won't get it. That ain't true, because if we don't get the ass, it's nothing. We get the fifth degree. Well, you should have known. Like, really?
No, I'm talking about you as a man. You the man. If you don't say what you want, then you don't get it.
Yeah.
The woman is an unwritten law that they don't have to say anything, and we're supposed to get it. But if we don't tell them, hey, look, we want, you know, what we want, then it's an understood law that we don't get anything.
Oh, shit, we can still tell them what we want, we still don't get nothing.
Yeah, that's true, too.
That's true, it's a crapshoot either way. It's a crapshoot either way. But that's cool. All right, family. I don't know about you, but I need to start taking my medication because I'm getting worse as we continue.
Yeah, mine wearing off, though.
Yeah. Sorry, family.
I'm over here like, my head.
Life is life, and like I said at the beginning, we still damn suffering, so we appreciate you for checking us out this week. We look forward to getting back at you next week. For all you suckers, I mean, for all you all who are participating in Valentine's Day, you are...
You're a clown, man.
make sure you do what you need to do to keep the peace in your house. Don't let me talk shit and get you fucked up.
Hey, before we go, man, we didn't get your prediction, man. Who you got?
Oh, man, you know, I'm not giving one because often I talk shit and it goes the wrong way, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and I'll keep it to myself, and we'll have the reveal next week after it's all said and done. But I'll tell you this, though. I'm going to dab my way out of it. How about that? Y'all be easy.
Okay.
Y'all
word
be good.
Up.
Y'all be safe. Next week.
Peace.